Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, joined by Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick on today's show. Theme of the show is the beats, earnings beats from legacy stocks. We have IBM, we have the brokerages, we have Procter Gamble, Comcast, all report UTX, all reporting earnings, Abbott Labs as well, KMB, Synchrony Financial, a ton of earnings to discuss on today's show. That'll be the first part of our show. We also have some interesting ratings to discuss, and we're going to talk about week action this morning in Qualcomm. Our guest today, Michelle Krebs, executive analyst at Cox Automotive. She would join us here at 8:35 to break down the auto automakers and what is in store for them going forward and what happened at the auto show. So that'll be at 8:35. Joel, what's going on in the overnight session?
We got some green on the screen here, Spencer. S&P futures are trading up 13.75 points at 26.45.75. Made that pre-market low right off the open at 27.50, but I'll be looking for the close of 26.32 ahead of that if we pull back. On the upside, folks, don't have a lot to look at. 56.50, that was the interday high for yesterday. So I'm gonna keep it kind of tight. I'm going to say that's a big level to clear for us to get back up and take another shot at 2,700. Crude rebounding today, up 48 cents at 53.48. Gold in the green by 90 cents at 12.84.30. Silver in the green, too, by 8.5 cents at 15.41. Triple D, IBM. Is it time to get back looking at IBM? And I don't know if Sean Udall's out there listening, but he was trying to pound that in our head a couple,
Sean's, of weeks. Sean's had some good calls here. I mean, legacy stocks here, some of them have been rallying. We obviously, you know, saw the GE rally and IBM's shown some life and now shows an okay quarter. It's all they had to do. Expectations not that high for IBM. So give us a number, Spencer Israel. We can jump in and tell you whether we like this or not.
All right. The Q4 adjusted EPS for IBM, $4.87 is a 3 cent beat. Sales 21.76 versus $21.75 billion. So slight beats on the Q4. Earnings, the fiscal year EPS guidance they gave was higher than estimates. 1390 was what they said. 1384 was the estimate. And their cloud revenue, which is, of course, the key segment for everybody here, cloud revenue up 12% on a year-over-year basis. Strategic imperatives revenue up 9% on a year-over-year basis. And they like that cloud number.
I mean, you look at it here, trading up $7, it's or $8. It seems like every quarter that IBM rallies on the initial number and then gets hit. This did not happen last night. This rallied and kept going, and it's been holding on now. Not just, you know, but obviously, you know, we reported right after the bell, so 4 hours last night, and also the, you know, 4 hours that we've been trading this morning. So this has traded some volume here now up here. So it does look like IBM is actually going to hold this rally, at least initially it's going to hold it here. So I don't know what to say. Am I chasing IBM? Do I believe in the company? No, I think there's lots of issues here still. That's why I sold the stock last year at 149. But I don't know. Joel, what are you saying on that? I mean, it's good. It's good. They're not hitting. It's good to hold on to the gains. But I just have trouble getting excited about our IBM.
I mean, if it was in it long, I'd just be holding on, you know. But, I mean, I saw that initial spike, and I'm thinking, you know, when it kind of – they kind of hesitated at 128. And I'm like, man, I don't know if this is going to fade because it's JINP is such a perennial dog. But yeah, I'll give you a couple levels to look at. I think longer term for me, I got to see it come back closer to 126, 127. And then I'd be a little bit more interested in it. But the initial surge, and they also had, I think, the CFO on IBM, the initial surge took it to 131.75. That's an interesting number to me because you did have a high at 131.89. So let's not squabble over pennies. Let's see what happens at 132. Then after that, it opens up to 133.40. So those really are the only daily numbers. These are from October 18th and 19th, and a couple days prior to that, it had a big gap down day. That must have been its last earnings report, from 145.12 to 134.05. So there's some levels up ahead. I just don't know if this is going to pull an eBay like yesterday, where it made the high in the pre-market and then faded. But those are the levels I like on the upside. Longer term, I'd have to see this thing back in the upper 120 handle for a longer term swing trade or a longer term long position.
Let's talk about that eBay move here, because it got love from two people on CNBC there last night. We know yesterday's story, obviously, was Elliott getting in there, new position, trying to shake up the company, seeing, you know, that or saying the stock could potentially go to $55. Everybody gets excited. We talked about on the show that some talk in their book. I wasn't really that excited. I don't think you were either. Stock gave back about half of those losses, or half of those gains. So now you look at it and you think, well, you know, if you come in a little bit, there's still Elliott's still in there kicking around. So that's a catalyst. And maybe, you know, the breakout on the chart here helps. I mean, it's not good that it gives back half the gains. But then last night, Karen Feinerman says she bought some yesterday. She also says she's intending to buy more. And then on Mad Money, CNBC, right at the end of the Mad Money segment, Cramer really gave a bullish rant, just threw it in there and said, I want you to own this. I think it's going to $40. So he said, buy it. It popped immediately when Cramer started saying that, from basically unchanged from 32.90 all the way up to 33.40. It's 33.22 here this morning. Get some love from Cramer. Get some love from Karen Feinerman. Get some love from Elliott Management. A lot of people talking positively about it here. Joel, are you going to give it some love?
No, not after all these people talk about it. I'll just do what I do, and I'll be stubborn, and I'll wait for it to come in and potentially fill the gap. You're trading green on today. It did close near the lows of the session. So if you are, you know, finding this love, like with, you know, Feinerman and whatever on TV, just be aware that if you take out yesterday's low, there's really not much as far as support. 31.02 would fill the gap from Friday. And the close is right in that area too. So if it holds yesterday's low, yeah, I think we have a chance to challenge maybe back to that 34.75. But I don't like the red candle after the action yesterday. It was basically straight down from the open. You had a little pop off the open, couldn't even get to 35, and then sellers came in. So not chasing this one as well.
Jump back to the earnings parade here. Let's go to Procter & Gamble this morning. This is a huge move for PG. We're getting right back up near all-time highs here once again. I want to run over to the buck. I know Joel wants to run over to the chart, and Spencer wants to run over to the numbers.
Exactly right. Q2 EPS, $1.25 versus $1.21 estimate sales, 17.438 versus 17.14 billion. So beats on both EPS and sales for the Q2. They also reaffirmed their guidance for their EPS guidance for the fiscal year.
The pre-market high, Joel, tell me.
Just over $94, $94.44.
Okay, you're there right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a big red candle. Hey, Spencer, can you check to see what happened on, was it a market meltdown on Monday, December 17th? Because it went from 96.64 to 92.77. That must have been a bad day
yes,
in the market.
Yes, it was.
I mean, if you get through the pre-market high, there's nothing until you get to 96.50. If I was long this thing, I'd be, with any kind of options or whatever, I'd be ringing the register as quickly as possible. This is a huge move for it, and I just don't see it fighting getting through all the way through that red candle up to 96.50, and I doubt there's enough stock in the book to keep it, you know, down for a lower open. But
I think 95. I think if it gets up near 95, I can see 57,000 in the book right there. Somebody pennying it. And what I mean by pennying is they're stepping ahead of it by one penny. 94.99, 8,900 shares. They have 94.85, 9,500 shares. So it starts to thicken up as you get above 94.84. And that's all the way up to 95. And the book is early here this morning. I think it's going to fill in more. I think you got some size at 95 that wants to go. So, and we popped up there a couple times. I know we took it out in mid-December, but back in November, that was a level we struggled at. I think that's where, if you're looking at a level where this might be going and where it might run into trouble, I think it's 95. I think I'd be more inclined to short it there, though, as opposed to buy it here and hope for the last 80 cents. So Procter & Gamble, I think 95 is a big level for it to try to go through.
And what if you were long it?
I'd probably ring the register here just because I think your upside's about 80 cents and who knows your downside. So I don't see this taking off $7-$8 here today. It's a big move for Procter & Gamble, 4% on earnings. Yes, the report was good, but these stocks typically move 2 to 3% on the report, so it's already giving you the bulk of the move. I think if I was long this thing, I'd say thank you very much. You know, good call to be long into the report, and I'd take the $3.59.
Yeah, I think I would too. And 94.44, that was your pre-market high in your last two brackets. So let's call it 94.50 and 95. Your resistance, the other thing Dennis was talking about with, when institutions and traders have big sellers on the book and a number, they can, you know, anticipate, use that as protection. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to get up there, but PG's done stranger things. Good report and nice looking candles so far.
Jump over Kimberly-Clark in the opposite direction here. They reported this morning, similar company, but different results.
$1.60 EPS versus $1.65 estimate sales, 4.6 versus 4.45 billion. So a sales beat, but an earnings miss for KMB.
Stock trading down 112.80, offered at 112.65. Looks like it wants to go a little bit lower here. It's been quiet consolidation here for a while. So now you get the report. I'd say if you're really going to sell-off mode, maybe 109.73. That was your low back from January 4th, which is your low of the year. You get through there. I don't think you get through there. I think what you're going to find buyers at 110.
And that 109.73 was flanked by a 110.21 low at your first couple trading days.
What's the pre-market low? We get down there at all?
Oh, just 110 even.
Oh, it's these levels work. You see, I didn't even look at the chart or nothing. And here, man, I should have been up earlier. I could have been playing it off it already. Booking myself $2.
Yeah. So I keep an eye on that. A lot of people maybe squeeze in the short, squeeze shorts here. Man, 107 to 118. Whew, I get a chance to bring it back in 110, 111. And just, just another note from yesterday, as far as that pre-market action, just getting control of things. Arconic never got near $15. It never even got near that 1563 low, Dennis, in the pre-market session. Remember it was trading all that stock at 15? Yeah.
And it rallied hard. So you had both moves were fades. eBay, the eBay pop and the Arconic drop, both were bought. So or both was faded. Arconic was obviously bought off 15, didn't even come close. And then eBay, we know, was trading well into the 34 handle and it sold off. So sometimes you get these oversized moves, they overshoot to the other way. I mean, Arconic is still it's sold off in the pre-market more to where it was before the rumors started. So maybe it just was ridiculously overdone when it got down to 15. And then 10% pop on eBay because Elliot's talking their book. Those were both fakes. And they worked out.
Yeah. Don't be a fader, right? Don't be a hater or a fader. But sometimes it does work. I just wanted to point those out. Doesn't mean it's going to be the same scenario every single day. But certain trends work for us, certain stocks on certain days. So let's go. We're still on the earnings parade here. Mr. Spencer, Synchrony. Which one would you like to do next?
Synchrony Financial. They are reporting Q4 EPS here of $1.09 versus a 92 cent estimate. Sales 4.39 versus $4.28 billion. So beats on both. They are my top gainer on my screener here this morning. They also had their lawsuit by Walmart against them dismissed, and they will continue managing credit card payments or credit card programs for Sam's Club.
The stock that I should have turned my GE into, because if we go back when Synchrony was spun off from General Electric, they gave the option back in 2015. Do you want Synchrony or do you want GE? Warren chose Synchrony. Always go with Warren. I did not. I stuck with GE, and that was obviously a mistake and had to sell it later, obviously, at 17 and 14. This thing is now $29 because you got it one for one, so you'd have been $29. So Synchrony Financial shareholders still being rewarded for turning their GE stock in SYF. Here it is 3 years later. 10.5% up here this morning. We'll let Joel take the technicals.
Well, you got a little bit of opinion here, just above 29.50. Your pre-market high is 29.55. That started at about 7:30 this morning. 29.50. So someone's trying to wiggle out of some stock there. I think even if you get beyond that, I think you got a big psychological level at $30. 32. Last time it traded in the 30 handle was back in October. 29.48 was your November high. So I'd say 29.5 up to 30 could be a potential spot for sellers. I just don't see it busting over 30 and making it to 32.05 today. Whew, on the downside, if this goes into retreat, I don't know. To fill the gap is 26.74, but it has a pretty good lead. I don't think it will fade that much.
Let's go to Abbott Labs, ABT. I own this one on my investment portfolio. Investment portfolio is getting hit a little bit here this morning because it's down 2%.
Yep, Abbott Labs Q4 EPS, 81 cents is in line with the estimate. Sales 7.76 for $7.82 billion. So a slight miss on that Q4 sales number. The fiscal year EPS guidance they gave was exactly in line with the estimate.
This one's always tighter. I mean, let's put it in perspective here. You've had one of the most volatile environments that we saw in November, December, and early January here, and the stock is still trading in an 8 point range. Call it a 10% range. It's beta's low. Doesn't move around that much. It's got a 1.83% dividend. It's more conservative. It's my kind of stock. I like, defensive. I like healthcare. I've always liked drugs because I feel like long-term, the aging population. So I'm overweighted drugs. I have been for years. Abbott Labs, ABT, down 1.5 bucks. I don't think this is going to collapse here. I mean, it could potentially get down to the 68 level, but I think you'd find buyers all over the place if it got down that low.
Matching ranges from Friday, Monday. So now let's call that old double bottom at 70.75. Let's call that a resistance if you go into rally mode. On the downside, they got a little bit excited and they took it all the way down to 69 even. But let's see what happens at 69.75. There was another pair of lows right at that area. So under 69.65, things will open up to the downside, 68.36. Man, 68.5. I mean, really, you're right. I think, did you mention that, Dennis? You had
68 around.
Yeah. Okay, 845, 845, 813, 836. So seems to be a lot. Even if you get going to the downside here, I think you'll find buyers in this one as well. And if it goes into super rally mode, just be aware you got a double top at 71.67, 71.74.
Dow component UTX reported this morning too. Spencer saying it had 11% organic sales growth, which is its best in 10 years. Spencer, can you confirm that data and how were the numbers?
Yes, I can confirm that. The Q4 EPS, $1.95 versus $1.53 estimate. Very nice beat there. Sales 18.04 versus $16.88 billion. So huge beats for both the EPS and sales for the Q4. EPS guidance they gave for the year was in line. Sales guidance for the year they gave also in line, but a massive Q4 EPS and sales beat for UTX.
116 feels like it's in the middle of nowhere to me. Up near 120, you got sellers, I think. You get near anywhere near 120, got sellers. But I think you come near 116, I think there's room to 120. I think there's also, obviously, if they turn around and decide to didn't like it, I'd be more prone to actually chase this one, I think. I'm not going to because I don't like chasing stocks, and I've always lost a lot of money doing that. But if you're looking, do you want to go long or do you want to go short? I'd rather be long at 116 than short at 116 because I think there's room to 120. I don't know if it gets there today, though.
I like a number on the upside ahead of that level. Your pre-market high, that was a quick spike to 117.84. But if you go over to your daily chart, you'll see a pair of highs right just under 117.50. That's still $1.60 away. So that's what I would use as the first resistance point. We've already leaked quite a bit here from the pre-market high. So your high could be in for the day on this one. Coming back on the downside, and this is really minor support here. So far, after making the high, 114 is held. And that's in three different 15-minute brackets, actually four. So that minor support at 114 in UTX, major resistance 117.5.
Jump over, COF reported last night, Capital One, and they did disappoint, trading down immediately on the report and continues to leak here in the pre-market. It was trading around 80 bucks last night. It's trading the 78 handle here this morning, so it just continues to leak. Spencer, what are the results?
Capital One Financial Q4 EPS, $2.48, was a 10-cent beat on the estimate. $2.38 was the estimate there. Sales, $7 billion versus $7.08 billion, so a slight sales miss and a Q4 EPS beat. They are getting a couple of downgrades, actually just one downgrade this morning, from Oppenheimer to neutral.
See, those are just obviously chasing. It's the earnings that matter here. I mean, you continue to leak here. If you look at the pre-market chart, you can see what I'm talking about. And I don't know. I don't want to buy a stock when it hasn't even tried to have a bottom here in the pre-market yet.
Nope.
So I'm hands off until this thing starts to show me something. 79.04 was low on January 11th. We're through that. And then it's a lot of error. So even though it's down $5, doesn't look like it wants to stop going down.
Here's what I would say real quick about the Oppenheimer downgrade. Looking at the headline numbers, they are mixed. The EPS beat and the sales are missed, and obviously the stock is down. So I see an Oppenheimer downgrade. I don't see that as them chasing price. I see them as validating this morning's price action. That's what I see that as. As they are taking – if you only read the headlines, the EPS and the sales, and you look any deeper, you'd say, oh, this is a mixed report. I don't really know why it's down $6. But the Oppenheimer downgrade validates – this morning's move to me.
There may be something to that, Spencer, because like I said, it was 80 last night. Now it's knocked down another dollar and a half. So maybe the analysts are weighing on it to knock it down even more.
Pre-market low, 77.79. Just doing a rough 50% retracement. This nice rally that you had. That will take you right to that 77.5 area as well. So keep an eye on that. But more importantly, what do you think of their new concept? Have you seen any of their commercials?
Oh my God, it's so annoying. Don't even get me started on that. A bank is a bank is a bank. Let's not kid ourselves here. Let's not create these happy places where banks can be more than banks. No, no, no. If I go to a branch, I want to go to a branch to give you my money or get some money. I don't want to.
No, Spencer, I could see you sipping your latte, you know, opening up your account. Did you see it, Dennis? They have these
they're
little cafes. So you can go get a Danish and a latte and you can open up your account. So
it's fun. Fun for me is hanging out at a bank. That's fun for me. So I don't know.
Where do you hang out at a bank?
That's a joke. I don't hang out at banks. Nobody hangs out at banks. That's my point.
No one's going to buy their latte. It's kind of like
They're diversifying. They're taking on Starbucks. They see Starbucks can sell $5 coffees, so why can't we?
They're going to merge with Urban Outfitters and sell pizza at the cafes.
To do everything there. Maybe this is what the banks – this is a whole new revenue model for them, having cafes, like the McCafe. The Capital One Cafe.
There you go. You got it. The commercials.
Right.
But
they're thinking. They're all trying to get into everything.
$77.50. We'll see.
There's money in $5 coffee.
Yes. Yeah. Let's go to Comcast here. Reporting this morning, they reported their highest quarterly revenue ever. I believe Q4 EPS 64 cents versus a 62-cent estimate. Sales, $27.84 billion. I mentioned that's a new company high versus $27.57 billion. So a slight beat on both the Q4 EPS and sales numbers. They also are raising their quarterly dividend from 19 cents to 21 cents per share.
I got to tell you, everybody who was trading last night was right, because Comcast was bid up last night. We had there was multiple stocks here. So if I just go to last night's action, I'm trying to look. Obviously, Capital One sold off, but it's funny how, you know, sometimes these are right. Anyway, so last night, Procter & Gamble wasn't bid up, but it had gapped up on the close. But I'm just trying to go through. It seemed like everything last night, whoever was guessing ahead of the reports, were right. But, okay, so give us the numbers here. Or did you give us the numbers?
I just did.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beat.
Go break down.
Beat, dividend raise.
Technicals.
It's a big move for it. Street leading the wrong way into this one. Pre-market high, 36.60, and that's kind of the top, of the trading range here. Actually, the top of the trading range has been 36.32. So I don't know. I mean, there's been sellers up in this 36.5, 36.50 area. I use that as resistance. Coming back on the downside, you know, if you don't really want to chase and you want to buy it on a gap fill, 36.09 was the top of yesterday's range. So If I'm trying it from the long side, I give it a short leash. I want to see it much under 36. It's a big move for the stock, and is the volume? I mean, this thing trades a lot of volume, so it's a big move. I don't know if it's going to hold it down, but trading range it's been in for quite some time. Let's see if the earnings
can. I still hate it long term. Short term, it's getting some life here. We saw Viacom obviously showing some life even last night as well. And obviously Viacom, you know, they think eventually CBS is going to buy them, so there's a different story there. But long term, I still don't like the cable providers just because I think they're being attacked by stuff like Netflix. People are cutting the cable cord. This is still a huge chunk of their revenue. I know they have some other things, but man, I can't see putting Comcast in your long term portfolio at 36.
I mean, unless you're looking for some, you know, just some. I mean, what's the dividend on that one?
It's not that great. 0.1%. If you really want a dividend, I'd go AT&T or Verizon. So I don't know. I just look at Comcast and I see Netflix, you know, obviously the valuations we're seeing there. You see everything. Everything's just going to, you know, people are cutting the cable cord. They're watching stuff online. And yes, they provide internet. So that still business is still going to be viable. But the huge cable business too. And as that gets hit, it can't help stocks like Comcast.
Disney, yeah. On that same note, TechCrunch did some digging into Disney's SEC filings, and they saw that, or they found that Disney reported their 30% stake in Hulu last year saw losses of $580 million, and Comcast also owns a 10% stake in Hulu, or 20%, I forget which. But so yeah, these companies have some have to clean up their balance sheets a little bit. The Hulu investments aren't paying off quite just yet. Viacom just bought as well. Viacom just bought Pluto TV for $340 million. So they're spending like crazy. We'll see if it helps them out in the future. But what other companies did we not hit on as far as the earnings?
We hit on most of them now, the big ones. I know Ameritrade, we didn't talk yet. It reported last night. Maybe we'll give Ameritrade a little bit of love.
We can do Ameritrade and we can do Interactive Brokers since they both...
They do them together.
They both reported. So AMTD reported after the close Q1 EPS of $1.07 versus $1.01. So it's six cent beat there. Sales 1.5 versus $1.49 billion. So beats on both top and bottom line for TD Ameritrade, and then IBKR. They reported yesterday as well. Q4 EPS 57 cents is a 3 cent miss on the estimate. Sales $492 million is also a slight miss on the estimate. It was 492.5. So slight misses for Interactive Brokers and beats for TD Ameritrade.
Well, TD Ameritrade, someone got real excited here and took it up to 57 even. So that's only a buck away. So you keep an eye on that if you're looking for a target on the upside.
That pretty much matches the September high there. So when you look at 56.28, I'm just looking back in September. So Interesting when you get to those levels there. But, yeah. It's been such a move, man.
I know.
Let's just put it in perspective. You got the lows at $45. You know, it's Christmas Eve. We're down to 45 handle. Now we're 56. So if you're buying it up here, you're now buying it up 25% in the last month and a half. I mean, this is the very definition of chasing. So I can't come in here and buy it. This is where it broke down from originally. You get back up near 60, you got all kinds of sellers. The room could keep going a little bit, sure. But now I think the risk return is weighed to more toward the shorts as opposed to being long.
All right, then let's look at Interactive Brokers now. This is a very interesting chart here for your short traders here. We're down 57 cents here at 51.38. And we did have an initial spike down to 50.24. But man, oh man, keep an eye on, let's just call it $50. You had three lows between 50.04 and 50.20. You knocked on the door a couple other times in December here. So I'll take out $50 at the end of the move. But, you know, I think it has a lot more downside. If you still, you know, have confidence in the company and the good commercials, boom, there's your support area. There's the area you need to lean on.
Jump over ratings land here. There's a ton of them. We're going to get imbalances here too, and I'll give you that. That's true. I want to go to one big one here. This one, Walmart is getting upgraded overweight at Morgan Stanley here. Again, Walmart has come back a long ways here too, so I think they're late to the party. So it looks like it wants to go to $100. So I think there's another $1.30 in here. Let's see what it does when it tries to get to triple digits. I'm going to go look at the book really fast because I bet you we're going to find some size in Walmart up near 100. I'm not saying it's going there today, but I think that's eventually where it wants to go. 62,000 for sale at 100 in Walmart.
And boom, the initial spike that you had on the 4 o'clock open took you up to 99.04. You're pretty close to that right now. The daily charts tell you that there was a high at 99.59. So I agree with you there, Triple D, 99.59 up to that psychological $100 level. But you want to see this, if you're, you know, looking for continuation, boom, you want to see it 99.99, 99.5, over $100. It's just an upgrade here. I wouldn't get too excited about it. And yeah, also,
a little bit also, of room, but...
yeah, 85.78 was your low back on December 24th.
Quick imbalance, look, there's not much. Some of the banks have sell imbalances. That's always interesting because you got the TLT trading down here today. So typically that's actually good for banks. If the bank's trading higher, they're trading higher in the pre-market. There could be an opportunity to buy the banks on the cheap at the open. So I might be looking at that. If you get some banks that open flat or open down, they might be okay. They got the beats yesterday big time, though. That's the only thing working against you. They did bounce back from the lows, but a lot of them had some, you know, ugly candles yesterday. Goldman Sachs' first red candle since its earnings report. Morgan Stanley was 1 point down a couple of bucks. So it's they did bounce back a little bit towards the end of the day. They're showing weakness here, and at least they're not really a little relative weakness. They're trading up still, but definitely some selling balances here this morning.
And I just say, one stock was a little bit different than that, and that was Bank America. That showed excellent relative strength yesterday. The only reason I know that is I had a small short position on.
You're like, why? Well, I want to go down. That's not the worst. When you see every stock in your sector going down, your stock's not going down. That's the worst.
And I was like so convinced. I was holding out for like 28.71. I'm like, why cannot we get to Friday's low here? And, you know, so I actually, the only way I got out was I threw some high offer out there on an options contract. I don't know. So it was the equivalent of 28.71 because I had the 29 put. So I think I put it at like 35. And I, you know, would have been equivalent of 28.65 on the options price, and I got lifted, and then the market kept on going down. And I'm like, it just it showed strength yesterday. Good number for you, Annette, 29.30. That's been the high close of the move. That was a close on Friday. That was the exact high on Monday, and the high of the move has been 29.46. So getting a little stall here. It must be a major. You got major sellers lurking at 29.50 there. Triple D, is that what everyone's leading on? Can you see that in the book in BAC?
Let's take a look. Usually you get to the big hole numbers. I bet you there's something at 30. Let's see if there's
something. Oh, yeah, sure, 30. But,
oh, 20. Actually, good call, Joel. This book is littered with sellers. This is a thick book. So here we look, BAC, just looking at the chart. And, yeah, so 29.30, 300,000 shares. Joel calling it there. That's a huge amount. But not only that, now you got 170,000 more at 29.50. And then he got 530,000 at 29.80. Then he got another 570,000 at 30 bucks. I mean, Bank of America chewed through that stuff, but that stalls it. You know, that takes big bucks to get it through when he got over 300,000 shares at a level. So, yeah, good call on the 29.30. I mean, that remains resistance for the stock.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it also could just be consolidating, you know, after a big move up and, you know, getting ready to take the next leg. But now you can just feel it. You can feel it on the downside. You can feel the you know, the buyers under 29. But Spencer, you want to cover one more here before I'm really looking forward to our guest here. What do you want to do? I see a lot about pot stocks, but you want to do that after the break?
Yeah, we'll do it after the break. We'll do one more ratings real quick. We'll do Teva. They're catching double upgrade this morning, or I guess two upgrades. UBS and Piper Jaffray. UBS is upgrading Teva to buy and raising their price target. By Smidge, Piper Jaffray upgrading them to neutral, raising their price target up to $16.
$20. I think it could go to 20. It's only up 50 cents here today on the double upgrade. This obviously is trading as an ADR, so it's active. So maybe I should pull that because it's already trading overseas very actively here. Volume's already 191,000 shares, so maybe it's already priced in. But if you're looking at the charts, I'd still say there's room to $20. I don't know if I get there today, though.
19 was your resistance area. You had five highs there, so I'd be looking to pull back from 19 for a lower risk buy. On the upside, I give you that 20 number. Not much up there, a little gap to fill. So, I don't know. Not a bad-looking chart. Kind of looks like it's breaking out, but I'd rather do it on something than, you know, a double upgrade.
All right. And on that note, we're going to take our only break of the day and grab Michelle Krebs, executive analyst at Cox Automotive. He's going to break down the automakers for us. So we'll be right back in a moment with Michelle.
We're on the line with Michelle Krebs. She's an auto executive analyst at Cox Automotive, been following the automotive industry with us for several years here. Talk about the headwinds here facing the automotive sector.
Well, there's so much uncertainty right now, and this industry does not like uncertainty. And, of course, the government shutdown is not helping either. But the Fed has indicated, has gone a couple different ways. First, it was going to increase interest rates a few times this year. Now they're being dovish. We think maybe they increase them once, twice. We do anticipate that lenders who are now seeing a rise in defaults and delinquencies after some heavy subprime lending will pull back. And we just don't know what's going to happen on the tariff side. So that always causes some anxiety.
So what are the automakers doing to respond and prepare for this slowdown?
Well, you mentioned Ford. Ford has said it's got an $11 billion restructuring it's going to do. We're still waiting for a lot of the details on that. They announced earnings after the close of business today. So we'll be looking for some announcements, maybe more details. They are certainly focused on overseas markets. They're restructuring Europe. They may get out of some markets like Russia. And then they announced some collaboration with Volkswagen to join forces and resources on things like EVs and autonomous vehicles and commercial vehicles. General Motors, of course, announced a major layoffs late last year. Those will start happening very soon, if not today, this week. They announced that they'll close 5 North American plants, one in Detroit and another, the Lordstown, Ohio plant that makes the Chevy Cruze, and they're dropping some of their car lines, just like Ford and Fiat Chrysler did. So, they're responding. They're preparing. I think it's a good thing that they're preparing ahead of time. We don't always see that in this industry.
Michelle, question for you. Ford really paid up for the train station there. I mean, $1 per square foot, I believe it was close to $140, $150. They got big plans there. They're spending big money. Any insight into that? And, you know, it's obviously going to be a drain on the cash, but give us a little insight of what they're doing with that train station for our listeners.
Well, yes, Ford announced, what was it, last summer, I guess it was, that they had purchased the central train station on Michigan Avenue in southwest Detroit in Corktown, the oldest neighborhood in Detroit. Ford has a strong connection there. And that building has been the symbol of Detroit's decay for decades. So Ford has purchased it. They're spending billions revamping it. And they will use that to house their autonomous vehicle development center. There will be other tenants there. There's all kinds of talk about retail, a movie theater possibly, and other renters in that space. But it is a big investment. I think a lot of it has to do with Bill Ford's legacy to Detroit. So it's exciting for the city of Detroit. I'm not sure investors are thrilled.
All right. So, we talked about, consumer confidence being down. Obviously, this is going to have an effect on our GDP with the shutdown. Tax refunds are delayed as long as the shutdown continues here. So kind of just a tepid outlook here for the auto industry for 2019.
Well, yeah, the government shutdown, which none of us anticipated in our forecast, is very concerning because we've seen a huge drop off in consumer confidence and you saw housing sales nosedive, and we worry that that'll affect car sales. The government itself has said GDP is being shaved off every week that the shutdown goes on, and the first quarter tends to be a low GDP period anyway. The other thing we're concerned about is not only are tax refunds delayed because of the government shutdown, but we think there were some miscalculations and withholdings last year, and that many consumers may be quite surprised to find out that they are not getting a refund. They might even owe, and or their refund is smaller than anticipated. And those refunds are used to in consumer spending and things like down payments on cars or purchase of used cars. So that is something we're going to be watching closely.
Let's step away and look at Ferrari here. Just had a really nice run up here, like many of the stocks in the market. Any outlook on RACE Ferrari for the higher end vehicles?
I never talk about stock prices. That totally baffles me. But, I think the ultra luxury segments have a good, they have a specific market. And the economy doesn't particularly affect those kinds of buyers in a negative way. So I would expect those will continue to do well.
And, we can't have a segment talking about the automotive sector without talking about Tesla Motors here. Bad news coming out of the company here. Competition seems like it's coming up for anywhere. Elon Musk has had investors sitting on pins and needles here. I know you haven't been a fan of the company for years, or where they're going to make with production, autonomous vehicles. Who's catching up on with them, and who's catching up fast?
Well, I think I have admiration for the company in terms of, it's driven everybody else towards electric vehicles. I'm not sure where the profits are in that yet, but, it has been a leader in disrupting and causing others to change it up. What I don't like is that they're measured by a different standard than other car companies are. But, they had a tough year last year. They eked out a profit in the third quarter. It looks like it'll be close for the fourth quarter. They have to continue to work on efficiency and production and delivering the goods to consumers. And they have to have some sustainable earnings. They don't want to go to the capital markets. I think they will be forced to probably. But they just have to, and they've announced that they're laying off 7% of the workforce. So they've got a challenging year ahead, and they've got some competition coming at them. Audi's e-tron is getting rave reviews, and there are many other players coming into that high market EV segment.
And we've also talked about like the infrastructure in order to have autonomous vehicles, and that doesn't seem to be moving at a quick pace at all. So it could be some time for that. Be interesting to see what Ford has in store for us at the trade station. We've been on the line with Michelle Krebs. She's an executive analyst at Cox Automotive, always keeping a close eye on the automotive sector for us. Michelle, great input as always, and we'll be checking in with you again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Okay. S&Ps have pulled back off the high. 2647.75 stands as your pre-market high. First target on the upside is 5650. That was your intraday high from yesterday. On the downside, I don't think I could get interested in potential long or covering shorts until you get back down to that closing area of 2632. It kind of feels like we're going to have a quiet day here, but there'll always be something, some tweet or something to shake something up. Dennis, what are you seeing out there in the pre-market trading?
It's kind of quiet, but a little bounce back from yesterday. I mean, we had a pretty good sell-off. Yes, it's the first good sell-off we've had since the second day of the trading year. Actually, the first day of the trading year. No, second day. I think it was the second day where you had the sell-off. So you look here, you say, okay, well, that was the first red candle for a lot of stocks. And a lot of stocks look like, that was the turning point maybe. We talked about this yesterday on the show, that sometimes these things turn on option expiration Fridays. You saw a wicked rally into the close on Friday. It felt a little bit toppy. I think I even tweeted out that it felt toppy. So now you look at it, and you're okay. Well, now you're off those highs. Those highs now come in and become major resistance, in my opinion. So if you look at the SPY, you're looking at 266.98. That was right. We closed 266.46. But, you know, overall, it was buying and bounce. It was holding us up there on the close. So we're 3 points off and 30 handles off of those highs there now if you're talking the S&P futures. So I think I'm more inclined to selling the rips until you take out those option expiration highs now. But I've been, you know, on bear train here for about a week and a half, though. I've been early. I feel like it's still more downside. I think we got to do a retest. I don't think it's going to keep going straight up here, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. So, and I don't mind being proven wrong too. I think I'd be proven wrong if we take out those highs from Friday.
And interestingly, I'm looking at the that pre-market high of 47.75, and I'm taking the high from Friday, 26.77.75. I'm going down to that low that you had yesterday at 26.16.50. Basically, what you had there was a 60-point move, right? So now you're getting back half of that. That half of that takes you right back to the 26.47 area. So I'm looking at that pre-market high as good resistance, and I don't think we're going to be able to get up to that intraday high from yesterday of 26.50. Maybe a little bit more work to do on the downside here. Real quick update here on IBM, now trading up 7% at 131.20. Buyers have been able to push this thing up to 132.29. That's a double top on your pre-market chart. There's your area of resistance. We have pulled back a buck from that area.
Tesla. Let's go to Tesla. The stock. Day. Yeah, and it's now taking out the lows of the move. 294.09 was a low back on the 26th. We are below that right now in the pre-market, 292.90. Man, it gets dicey down here. I mean, if we don't reclaim that, and if we can reclaim the 294.09, then, you know, the bulls still have a case here. But holy cow, this is a serious level that's starting to breach here now. A lot of air below. I mean, one time, you know, it gets hit, they bounce it back. The second time it gets hit, they bounce it back. Third time it gets hit, and this is fundamental news has been coming out, they're not bouncing it back this time. So, at least not as easily, it doesn't look like. So, taking out those lows. I still believe the Tesla story long term, but again, I'm not in it because I can't stomach it. And you start taking out 292, 290, the stock's got a lot of air below still.
Yeah, and yesterday was a bad day for it. You know, after that walloping coming into the $300 area and then just fading off the open, the overall market didn't help it.
Today, RBC downgrading it to underperform. That's your catalyst today.
Yeah, they're just jumping on it. I mean, the company gives you bad news. You're getting downgrades and you're under 300. I think at this point, you might want to just sit on hands here and wait for that 250, 260 area.
It could do it. It could do it again. We've done it. How many times have we got up there and we've come back down to 250, 260? We did it March 2018. Then we ran up to 380. And we came all the way back down in October. Came all the way back up. Now you're starting to look like you want to go back down and test that 250, 260 area. And that's 40 points below here. I can't see coming in short. If you're shorting it now, though, the problem is, yeah, I think it'd just be up 10, 15 points because you're down 50 points in the last two trading sessions. So that's why I think it's more set on hands, like you said, Joel, as opposed to jumping in here and actually shorting it, even if you think there's just the risk rewards are scary here because it's hard to control the risk on this. I mean, where do you really cut? If you short it here at 293, where's your out? Above 300, I guess you say?
Yeah, I mean, you could take I like to keep an eye on the low close of the move. And,
You sound like you're dying here. You okay? Take your mute, clear your throat, it's okay.
A lot of yelling at the game last night.
big win though, right?
Yeah, they blew a 10-point lead. blew a 10-point lead with 2 minutes to go and ended up scoring with no time on the clock. So a lot of yelling for me last night. For the victory. We got about 7 minutes left. I know we had some decent ratings out there. Did we get to cover all of those, Spencer?
We covered the two bigger ones. There was a couple more on my list. Logitech was getting a gosh, I haven't even looked in so long. They were catching an upgrade this morning from JP Morgan to overweight. They raised their price target to $42. That was moving a couple hours ago. I think it's still up about 4% in the pre-market session here.
Yeah. And remember, this trade's overseas, so it's active right now.
Right. So that's one. But I did want to hit on QSR. I was wondering when people were going to start lifting offers this morning, because they had a couple of headlines, one of which was that they are raising their quarterly dividend from 45 cents to 50 cents a share. Same store sales. They also released lows for the Q4 and across their variety of brands and in the U.S. and Canada and Europe. And between that and the dividend raise, I'm surprised that there were no trades here this morning. But there are some now, and there is some liquidity, and the stock is up. QSR, I'm talking about. The stock is up here on that headline.
It's up big time here, up 8%. So nice catch there, Spencer. Israel stock is trading up at 61.60. That, if we got to go out to the weeklies here, is taking out that September high there of 61.36. So that's moving.
Oh, Joel? No. That's two days in a row.
You muted it or Joel did?
No, I didn't mute anything. I didn't do anything.
Hey, at least I didn't.
You guys are all muted.
Okay, wait. Okay, I'll own up.
At least
up.
I didn't mute the guest.
I'll own up to that. That was my mistake. Okay. All right, QSR.
62.74 is your pre-market high. You backed off. I really don't follow this thing at all. I go to the monthlies, and I see 61.36 was your September high, so stays above that, good to go to the upside. 64.53 was your high back in August. Who do they have? Do you know Spencer? I don't want to throw you under the bus, who are their brands?
They have Burger King. They have Tim Hortons. Those are the two biggest brands. They have some others as well, but Tim Hortons and Burger King are their, and Popeyes. Those are their three.
Popeyes chicken.
Those are their three main brands there. And then before we,
I love Popeyes chicken. They own Popeyes now, eh? Yeah, because I used to trade it. It was public, and that's where it went. Was QSR bought it?
Yes, that is where it went.
What was the symbol?
Little Nicky. Do you remember that one with Adam Sandler?
Yes, I do.
And it was Popeye. It was like a full running 2-hour advertise for Popeye's chicken. The devil came back up to try to to try to save Satan, and comes up to the earth. It's obviously Adam Sandler movie, and then he found Popeye's chicken for the first time, and he thought that was just the best stuff ever. Everywhere he was going, Popeye's chicken. I wonder if Popeye's paid money for that, because man, that was the best advertising for Popeye's chicken I think they could have possibly got.
Maybe.
Go ahead, Spencer.
So I before we ended the show, I wanted to discuss Qualcomm, which we had discussed on the pre-market show. We hadn't discussed on the, at least I don't think we have during the show. And Qualcomm was getting hit yesterday a little bit, and so there's no clear catalyst for that besides just the overall weakness in the chip stock just from the past couple.
Night, and this is what I think the market is speculating. So Carisdale Capital, which is kind of like a Citron, they issue short reports, and they tweeted this last night just after the bell at 4:09. They tweeted, tomorrow we write on our first short for 2019, and it'll be our largest company yet. A looming loss in an important legal case will dismantle its largest source of profits on top of its bleak business case more generally. And right after that tweet, Qualcomm started getting hit. So I think, and I tweeted this out, I think the market is speculating that it's Qualcomm, that they're going to talk. And they haven't, Carisdale has not issued this report yet. They usually issue it during market hours, so I'd expect it after 9:30. But I think that's why Qualcomm is trading down here today. If it's not Qualcomm, then maybe there's another catalyst that I missed here, but it's pretty coincidental. It sounds like when they're talking something like that, it sounds like it could be Qualcomm. Obviously, we don't know anything. We don't know who it is. I'm just guessing that it might be Qualcomm. And I think the market is guessing Qualcomm too. And I think that's why QCOM is down 2% right now. They're worried that Carisdale is going to come out with a negative short report and say some pretty bad stuff about it, but we don't know that. This is just speculating.
Carisdale does a lot. They're on both sides, so they do long and short reports, and they typically do them around the open, so a few minutes before the open or a few minutes after the open, and they're typically in that 9:20 to 9:40 window is when they will release. They'll tweet like, we're short so-and-so. We're long so-and-so. So yeah.
They don't tweet very often. This isn't a company that's coming out a lot. So when they issue a report, there is precedence here. They have knocked stocks down before. You were saying, what, St. Joe's got knocked down significantly earlier last year?
Yeah, that was last year. They knocked down JOE. They've knocked down PLSE before. They've knocked down a few other names. PTI. They've knocked down 25% on the day of that was March of last year.
Yeah. Don't expect a 25% fall on something like
that. Well, yeah.
It's a thick stock. I mean, they're picking on something that's thick. So if you saw, it's already down 2.3%. So, and I still have this in my long-term portfolio, by the way. It was a Sean Udall pick, and I guess I'm sticking with it. But a little bit nervous here this morning that it might be Qualcomm.
53.5. That was a pair of monthly lows, November and December. We are trading below that. So big area to hold, 53.50. Of course, if the report is not on that, you could get a big pop.
If we think that's why Qualcomm's down this morning. If anybody else, it's just so such a coincidence. Started getting hit right on that tweet. I was like, oh, this does sound like Qualcomm. And somebody else said it. And I'm like looking. I'm like, yeah, this looks like it could be Qualcomm too. I think that's their catalyst. Because I just see Qualcomm getting hit in my filters. And I see this Carisdale tweet. And I'm like putting two and two together. I'm like, man, that sounds like Qualcomm.
I just want to cover Netflix real quick here. And it held up for a day or two after the report now, trading up $3 in the pre-market here. But it had a good report. I don't like this. I don't like this on the long side at all. If you participated in this rally from 235 and change, I mean, I think the luster is off. Held in there the day of earnings, but now it's starting to fade here. Below 321. I'm looking for a test of a 313 and then 308, but sure seems like they digested that report. They held on here, but now it's starting to work its way lower. Dennis, any thoughts on Netflix?
Same thoughts. Like I thought at 330, 340 before, I thought it was overdone. It got up to 360. It's starting to leak here now. Now I think the trend is starting to break here. It was just too much too fast, you know, and obviously I have Netflix, you know, I like the product. I just always been a valuation issue for me. When it gets up to those valuations close to Disney, I think it's getting ridiculous, and that's where it's approaching there again when it gets up to 360. It's down 328 now. I think bears are a little more in control here now than bulls, but still wild. It's still going to get, you know, some wild swings in there, but I'd be more apt to short. It got up to 340. I think it's a better setup for the short side.
All right, that is going to do it for our show. Thanks to everyone who joined us both on YouTube and on our main site, premarket.benzinga.com. Also, we have chat rooms on both places. The chat room on premarket.benzinga.com is running all day pretty much. So after the show ends, it's still active. So check that out. Again, that's premarket.benzinga.com. Thanks to our guest, Michelle Krebs. Please remember, all the information from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. On tomorrow's show, already Thursday, wow, time flies when you're having fun. On tomorrow's show, we'll be joined by Mark Chaykin at 8:15. And so you can look forward to that. But with that said, everyone, have a good rest of your day. And I hope you join us again on Thursday.